August 2007, and my guest today is Sherry Peel Jackson.
Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felden hooks up with me from Vancouver in about 1 hour from now. He is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. Greg sends me a couple of articles that we're going to be taking a look at this morning. One involves the United States Code and the definition of economic espionage. And it directly applies to President Bush regarding Israel and the Security and Prosperity Partnership Arrangement for a North American Union. Greg sends me the link. We're going to be looking at it in about 1 hour from now, as well as his latest article at gregfelton.com, which has been picked up by Information Clearinghouse, a very, very fine piece that I'm sure you're going to enjoy when he comes on at 8 o'clock this morning Central Time. I wanted to also give you the roadmap of things that are going to be going on this week in this show. Ray McGovern is with us tomorrow from 7 to 9 Central. Ray McGovern used to prepare national intelligence estimates for the president as a part of the Central Intelligence Agency's team that was putting together those NIE estimates. He is now with something called Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, VIPS, V-I-P-S. Ray McGovern's had an awful lot to say at antiwar.com and elsewhere about what has been going on with the president and this war, and the whole agenda of the neoconservatives in the Middle East, among many other things. He'll be on with us for 2 hours tomorrow, 7 to 9 Central. And then Hesham Talabi will be on the show from 9 to 10 o'clock in the morning, talking about this whole issue of Palestine and Dr. Talabi's recent trip to that nation once more. Hesham, of course, was speaking about these matters a few weeks ago in Sandpoint, Idaho, at Pastor Dave Barley's conference. We're going to get a chance tomorrow morning in the last hour of the show to cover at least some of that material. Then Wednesday, we have a very special treat for you, and one that's going to be ongoing on this show. Pastor Dale Crowley Jr. is going to come back to radio with me, and he's going to be doing that on Wednesday, the 29th of August, for the first time in regard to being a regular on this show. That will be from 9 to 10 o'clock in the morning Central Time. WFAX, of course, up in Washington, D.C., carried his program for 20 years. Dale's broadcast experience in radio goes back 40 years in the Washington, D.C. area. He's been out of the radio loop ever since the show was discontinued by WFAX-AM up there, and we're bringing him back. So you will have him 1 hour on Wednesday from 9 to 10 o'clock in the morning Central Time, and that, again, will be a regular feature of this show. Chuck Carlson of WeHoldTheseTruths.org will be with me on Thursday. Chuck will be covering a series of items, of course, related to Christian Zionism in the Middle East and what he's doing domestically to bring about a greater awareness on the part of Protestant evangelical Christians of the wrong road that we've been traveling down. Of course, Chuck is a regular at WHTT.org. That's WeHoldTheseTruths.org. You can never go wrong looking at his news articles to stay abreast of the things that are going on in the world. He will, again, be with us on Thursday. And then, of course, Mark Glenn of the American Free Press and Father Martinez will join us on Friday. So that's the basic lineup, including Greg Felton today coming to us from Vancouver, British Columbia, in approximately 1 hour from now. There are a number of things that we could take a look at in the news this morning, and that we will before Greg comes on. Among the many, many items that I find to be of particular interest is this most ominous report in the American Free Press this week on August 27th. Something that I have also read online, and that is what Dr. Paul Craig Roberts is saying about China. The fact that China holds all the financial cards and can wreck the United States economy at any time. We'll take a look at a little bit of that essay when we come back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton hooks up with us from Canada in 1 hour from now. Stay tuned.
As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7, but I never have to go to work.
So what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down, it's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton will be with us in about 1 hour from now. He is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. We're going to be talking about several things with Greg, including his new article, which is also at Information Clearinghouse, that deals with several items, including this whole question of sedition. Sedition in America, sedition in Canada. And then, of course, he sent me something on the issue of economic espionage and what the 18th section, I believe, of the United States Code has to say about it. We'll be glancing at all of these stories with Greg Felton this morning at right around 8 o'clock in the morning Central Time. And, of course, when we get back to this whole issue of Section 18 of the United States Code, economic espionage, what is it? And how should this code and this particular section relate to Israel and the Security and Prosperity Partnership Arrangement for a North American Union? A most interesting take on this morning from Greg Felton when he comes on. And, of course, we've got a good lineup of shows this week. Ray McGovern and Hesham Talawi are going to be with us tomorrow. Dale Crowley Jr. on Wednesday from Washington, D.C. Chuck Carlson on Thursday. China. How important is China to the present situation in the United States? I, of course, have been aware of this article for a number of days now, but I've wanted to say something about it on the air. Paul Craig Roberts' piece entitled "China Holds All the Financial Cards, Can Wreck the U.S. Economy at Any Time," now reappears in the August 27th American Free Press. Dr. Roberts says that China let the idiots in Washington and on Wall Street know that it has them by the throat. Two senior spokesmen for the Chinese government observed that China's considerable holdings of U.S. dollars and treasury bonds, quote, contributes a great deal to maintaining the position of the dollar as a reserve currency, unquote. Dr. Roberts, of course, is quoting himself from Ambrose Evans Pritchard's article entitled China Threatens Nuclear Option of Dollar Sales that appears in the London Telegraph on August 9th. Dr. Roberts proceeds to say that should the U.S. proceed with sanctions intended to cause the Chinese currency to appreciate, quote, the Chinese central bank will be forced to sell dollars, which might lead to a mass depreciation of the dollar, unquote. If Western financial markets are sufficiently intelligent to comprehend the message, says Paul Craig Roberts, U.S. interest rates will rise regardless of any further action by China. At this point, China does not need to sell a single bond. In an instant, China has made it clear that U.S. interest rates depend on China, not on the Federal Reserve. The precarious position of the U.S. dollar as reserve currency has been thoroughly ignored and denied. The delusion that the U.S. is the world's sole superpower, whose currency is desirable regardless of its excess supply, reflects American hubris, not reality. This hubris, says Paul Craig Roberts, is so extreme that only 6 weeks ago, McKinsey Global Institute published a study that concluded that even a doubling of the U.S. current account deficit to $1.6 trillion would pose no problem. Strategic thinkers, if any remain, who have not been purged by neocons, will quickly conclude that China's power over the value of the dollar and U.S. interest rates also gives China power over U.S. foreign policy. The U.S. was able to attack Afghanistan and Iraq only because China provided the largest part of the financing for Bush's wars. If China ceased to buy U.S. treasuries, Bush's wars would end. The savings rate of U.S. consumers is essentially zero, and several million are afflicted with mortgages that they cannot afford. With Bush's budget in deficit and with no room in the U.S. consumers' budget for a tax increase, Bush's wars can only be financed by foreigners. No country on earth, except for Israel, supports the Bush regime's desire to attack Iran. It is China's decision whether it calls in the U.S. ambassador and delivers the message that there will be no attack on Iran or further war unless the U.S. is prepared to buy back $900 billion in U.S. T-bonds and other dollar assets. The United States, of course, has no foreign reserves with which to make the purchase. The impact of such a large sale on U.S. interest rates would wreck the U.S. economy and effectively end Bush's war-making capability. Moreover, other governments would likely follow the Chinese lead, as the main support for the U.S. dollar has been China's willingness to accumulate them. If the largest holder dumped the dollar, other countries would dump dollars too. The value and purchasing power of the U.S. dollar would fall. When hard-pressed Americans went to Walmart to make their purchases, the new prices would make them think that they had wandered into Neiman Marcus. Americans would not be able to maintain their current living standard. Simultaneously, Americans would be hit either with tax increases in order to close a budget deficit that foreigners will no longer finance, or with large cuts in income security programs. The only other source of budgetary finance would be for the government to print money to pay its bills. In this event, Americans would experience inflation in addition to higher prices from dollar devaluation. This is a grim outlook. We got into this position because our leaders are ignorant fools. So are our economists, many of whom are paid shills for some of the other interest group. So are our corporate leaders, whose greed gave China power over the U.S. by offshoring America's production of goods and services to China. It was the corporate fat cats who turned U.S. gross domestic product into Chinese imports, and it was the free trade, free market economists who egged it on. How did a people as stupid as Americans get so full of hubris? As Paul Craig Roberts on China holds all the financial cards, can wreck the United States economy at any time. Number of questions arise for me from this article, not the least of which is this. Did the Chinese agree to finance American military incursions into Iraq and Afghanistan because they knew what the outcome would be? That it would ultimately result in a floundering of the American Republic? That the power vacuum that would be created by such an event would cause a replacement to take place in the scene in world history? And that replacement would be China? I often wonder about this, but it seems to me that that's the way that it looks like. where the communist Chinese deliberately financed our own stupidity in regard to this present military incursion in the Middle East. And it will be interesting to see what will happen if, in fact, the United States does decide that it must attack Iran. Perhaps that decision's already been reached. What communist China will do? Will it call in the U.S. ambassador? Will it deliver the message that there will not be an attack on Iran or further war? Unless the U.S. is prepared to buy back $900 billion in U.S. T-bonds and other dollar assets, $900 billion. An absolutely incredible thing, folks, that Paul Craig Roberts is talking about this past week. You can find that article in the American Free Press on August 27th, page 14. It certainly does seem that we have a situation today that we are at a level of political and economic vulnerability that will cause our military incursions in the Middle East to be the final coup de grace. We have a caller, John in Tennessee. John, go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
It's good to hear your voice. I've been trying to alert people to the fact of the debt that this nation owes foreign countries for about 2.5 or 3 years now. And it's a funny thing because you'll bring it to someone's attention, maybe on a local talk radio program, and the host, who's supposed to be a highly educated individual, will say, well, what good would that do China? Well, here's the thing, Mark, that people need to understand. We already owe China in 2006 $850 billion plus. That's money that they don't have anyway right now. We owe it to them. They don't have it. They're living pretty good without it. So if you create an economic war, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but if you create an economic war and you cause the collapse of an economy of a nation that you really don't give two hoots about, you're not hurting yourself. You're limiting their ability to be able to come to the defense of any other country that you may want to attack. I don't know how to put it any other way except that what you're saying today, I agree with wholeheartedly. When you dump the dollar, and if China does, you can bet your bottom dollar that the money we owe to Iran is going to be dumped. The money we owe to Japan and other nations to the tune of over $11 trillion, man, that's $11,000 billion. It's a number that you and I can't really put into a proper perspective. It's an unfathomable amount of money. Now, when you're calling that debt due, you're either going to print more money, like you said, to pay the debt, or you're going to repudiate the debt that you owe these other nations, which isn't going to make them very happy either. And the sad part about it, you said that these people that were running our government are ignorant. No, they're not ignorant. Ignorant means you don't know what you're doing. They're very deceptive and deceitful and evil people. They know what they're doing. The ignorant ones are the ones that were going to the booths, the voting booths, and electing to go up there and try to get things straightened out because they don't have a clue. And if you or I or the other patriotic people that really have a sense of what's going on tries to encourage them or enlighten them, then we're lumped in this group called conspiracy theorists. We're, you know, the tinfoil hat people that have taken the time to study history and see where our country's going and why it's headed in the direction that it is. And we're being totally disregarded.
I agree with you, John. And, you know, the interesting thing to me, a couple of things come to my mind as you talk. One is the fact that I think your point is well taken. We are not talking about ignorance here. We're talking about what seems to be deliberate policy, deliberately crafted policy on the part of the policy elite of this country. And one could not devise, if one tried, a better way of destroying the sovereignty of the United States than to combine this type of economic and military policy with what we are doing with this illegal immigration into the United States. All of these things taken in tandem, it seems to me, have caused us the present circumstance that we are in, and I think it's deliberate. Is it a conspiracy?
Absolutely.
I think it is. I think it is. If you got time, hang on, John. We'll be back.
All right.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is John Statman, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103. And let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line-out and external line-in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio. You get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton comes on at 8 o'clock this morning. Ray McGovern from 7 to 9 a.m. Central tomorrow, followed by Hesham Talawi tomorrow from 9 to 10 a.m. Central. Then Wednesday, Dale Crowley Jr. hooks up with us from Washington, D.C. from 9 to 10 a.m. Central. Pastor Crowley will be a regular on this show on Wednesdays from here on out. Chuck Carlson of We Hold These Truths will be on Thursday. And then, of course, Mark Lynn of the American Free Press and Father John Martinez on Friday. That's the lineup. And we're back with John in Tennessee. John, go ahead, sir.
All right. Thank you, Mark, for holding me. A couple more things, and I could talk to you. I believe we have so much in common, I could talk to you for a week. I won't try to do it, but I really could. Let me suggest a book for you. I know that you're a reader. It's a book called What Hath God Wrought by Dr. William Grady. You can find it on Amazon, or you can find it if you'll do a search for Grady Publications. It's an excellent, excellent book, well-researched. Dr. Grady was raised as a Catholic in the Catholic Church in New York, and since his years ago become a Baptist preacher, an evangelical minister, and the book is excellent. I mean, he ties what Republic Broadcasting has been talking about in simple language. He ties it up with a ribbon and a bow, and every time you turn a page, you're wondering what he's going to bring forth. And there's probably 50 or 60 pages in the back of documentation and footnotes. So he's not making this stuff up. And he's written other books. You can find those on his website or Amazon as well. I'd like to offer him as a what I think would be an excellent guest suggestion.
That's Dr. William Grady.
Dr. William Grady, or you may find him as Bill Grady.
Okay.
I've heard him speak in person years ago, and basically at that time my eyes had not opened up, and I thought he's nuts. But after I had an awakening, if that's what you want to call it, I reread his book. I've actually I bought a book from him when I seen him in person, and I read the book. It sat on the shelf for many years, and I read the book, and I thought, you dummy, why have you not picked this up? But the time wasn't right. I believe that God leads, and the time for me to read the book hadn't come around yet. Well, the time came, I read it, and it has helped me to grow in my understanding, not only of what this, you know, this world order has in store for us, but what God's plans are for it, and to see that as much as we don't want to see it happening, it is all in God's plan. Whether or not I believe we're supposed to do what Ephesians 5:11 tells us to do and stand in opposition to it. But it's, you know, it's something that's in the works, and we need to understand that. Something else that I had in mind for you was, I forgot where I was going. I'm rambling on. So I won't tie you up. I appreciate your program, and I thank you for holding me over. If you would, read the books. They're amazing. One other one that I would suggest to you is called The Two Babylons. I know what I meant to talk. The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. Now, I've been
how
on
does,
a...
How does Alexander spell his last name?
H-I-S-L-O-P. It was written in the 1913, something like that, or maybe before that. It's a book that has documented the Babylonian connection, pagan worship, connected it to the Catholic Church. Not to Catholic people, don't misunderstand me, but to the origins of the Catholic Church. He links it and ties it back to Babylonian idol worship and paganism. Now, I've been on a website, a Christian website, doing much of this, trying to bring people around, and it wasn't very long, Mark, that some other posts began to show up that were in stark contrast to my position. So when you, and do I sound conspiratorial? I hope so. But when you see that people are coming around that have no substantial argument other than to, you know, to kind of belittle you or call you names or tell you that they've found the tinfoil hat that you lost or different things, we've got to understand that with this Patriot Act, we're being watched very closely. And I just have one thing to say to them. Look, you know who I am, and I sound paranoid. I'm not. They know where Mark Dankoff is. They know who you are. They know who John Stabenow is, and I'm sure they know who I am. I'm John in Tennessee. If you're looking for me, you know where I'm at. You know, that's all I have to say. I'm going to stand up and defend the faith. I'm not going to fall in line like the rest of the world. And I know that you and the people of Republic and the other listeners, I pray that they'll do the same. We're in a battle. We are in a battle.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7, but I never have to go to work.
So what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down. It's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton will hook up with us in approximately 1 hour from now. Or what am I talking about? It's now half an hour from now that he'll be with us. And I'm looking forward to talking with him about a couple of items that he sent to me that will make for excellent, excellent material for the next 2 hours in this show. So Greg will hook up with us in approximately half an hour from Vancouver. You can find his latest book, The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America, at Amazon or at Dandelion Books. That's Carol Adler's company in Tempe, Arizona. Talking with John from Tennessee this morning about this whole business of conspiracy theories. Folks, conspiracy theories only indicate paranoia and lack of homework if there's no data to support the conspiracy theory. If there's all kinds of data out there to support the conspiracy theory, then by George, it's probably a conspiracy. And whether we're talking about the Kennedy assassination or the USS Liberty situation in June of 1967, or we're talking about 9/11, when the data fits, wear the shoe. That's the bottom line in this whole business of being a conspiracy theorist. Being one is only a bad thing if the data doesn't support it. But where the data supports it and supports it overwhelmingly, by all means, be a conspiracy theorist. The Washington Post today has an interesting item on page one. Page one. Josh White, the Washington Post staff writer, is the author, and it's entitled, Many Take the Army's Quick Ship Bonus. $20,000 is a lure to leave within days. Want a quick $20,000, kids? Join the Army and ship out for Iraq. This is what is said today on the front page of the Washington Post, where Mr. White writes as follows, More than 90% of the Army's new recruits since late July have accepted a $20,000 quick ship bonus to leave for basic combat training by the end of September, putting thousands of Americans into uniform almost immediately. Many recruits who take the bonus, scoring in many cases the equivalent of more than a year's pay, leave their homes within days, recruiters said. The initiative is part of an effort by Army officials to meet year-end recruiting goals after a two-month slump earlier this year. With the fiscal year ending September the 30th, the Army hopes the extra cash motivates those interested in joining or entices those just considering enlisting. The program began on July 25th, and in 3 weeks the Army had enlisted 3,800 recruits using the bonus, according to the U.S. Army Recruiting Command in Fort Knox, Kentucky. Those recruits accounted for 92% of the 4,149 recruits who signed contracts between July 25th and August 13th. The $20,000 bonus is a hefty sum for many of the individuals the Army targets most aggressively, young men and women who have not settled on a career. The Army estimates that soldiers coming out of initial training are paid $17,400 a year on average. But the effort, experts said, could pose problems for the Army in coming months because those who might have helped fill recruiting quotas later this year or in early 2008 are instead joining now. Bethany Moore, age 19, of Jessup, visited a recruiting station Wednesday knowing that she wanted to sign up in the hopes of building a stable career. A 2006 graduate of Northern High School in Calvert County, Moore had worked a series of quote-unquote regular jobs and wanted to make a serious change. Quote, I just wanted to do something better with my life, unquote, she said. Although she expected a six-month waiting period to go to basic training, she learned of the bonus and immediately accepted. She will ship out within a week. It was a welcome surprise, Moore said, and it's a lot of money, unquote. Military personnel experts said the signing bonuses are a transparent way for the Army to meet its annual goal of 80,000 recruits amid an increasingly difficult recruiting environment. They also said the rush to get people into uniform might have more to do with meeting numerical targets than with the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, though many of those who join the Army face the possibility of deployment to combat soon. The Army hopes the bonus will increase its recruiting numbers for August, a month whose goals are among the largest of the year. The Army will announce the August numbers in early September. Quote, The Army is intent on trying to meet its recruitment goals in terms of numbers by the end of the fiscal year, so they're doing just about anything they can to bring those numbers up, unquote, said Cindy Williams, an analyst at the Security Studies Program at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Quote, To me, it signals something that we've already been seeing from the Army, a trade-off in terms of quality and quantity. My sense is that right now, they're willing to take anybody who is willing to walk in the door and ship by September the 30th, unquote. Army officials have lowered standards and increased waivers in recent years to meet their recruiting goals, in part to deal with the strain of the wars and to quickly expand the Army. But the Army has been more concerned with nosediving public opinion about the war in Iraq and the role of influencers, parents, teachers, and coaches who have been increasingly unwilling to recommend the military as a career option to young people. The $20,000 bonus can be enticing, says the Washington Post, especially to those who lack a steady job, languish in debt, or are worried about their future. Staff Sergeant Kevin Gordon, a recruiter in Glen Burnie, Maryland, said a majority of the people who come into his office have already decided to join the service and then jump at the chance to leave now. They have school loans, mortgages, they have family concerns, said Gordon, whose three recent recruits all took the bonus. Quote, It's a great incentive because something like that leaves families in a good financial posture, and they feel a little more comfortable knowing their bills will be taken care of, unquote. The way the bonus works is simple. Recruits willing to ship out within the next month will receive $10,000 upon completion of basic training and advanced individual training. Then, over the course of their initial active duty enlistment, they will receive $10,000 in even annual sums. For a young recruit with no college education, the bonus, which is taxable, could be the equivalent of a year of pay over the course of a three-year enlistment, and the recruit can still qualify for other sign-up bonuses. The quick ship bonus spurred John C. Davis III, 24, of East Baltimore, to sign his enlistment papers on July 27th, 2 days after the program began. Davis received a two-year college degree in graphic design in 2005, but has been stuck in a quote-unquote dead-end job without much pay, including loading tractor trailers. He will ship out Wednesday after doing regular workouts with his recruiter in Towson, Staff Sergeant Brian Groats. Davis will also get a $25,000 bonus for taking an Army position as a petroleum specialist, meaning he will have a year's salary in his bank account before he starts his first Army job. For Davis, who has four-year-old twins and relies on his mother for help, the bonuses will give him a start on finding a nice place to live and a foundation for a graphic design business someday. Quote, "When I first heard about the bonus, I thought that I could really get my life in order," unquote, Davis said. "Pay some bills, put some money aside, help my mother. I was really going to go in anyway. I just wasn't planning to go this soon," unquote. Sergeant Willie Thomas, a recruiter in the Woodbridge office, said the quick ship bonus is helpful as an eye catcher, but he thinks that it is not enough to change attitudes about the military or the Iraq War. Although his office has a sign on its door advertising the bonus, he said it is one of the last things he mentions to a potential recruit. He says he emphasizes Army benefits above all else, such as a stable job, work experience, and health care. Quote, "They would have to be really interested in the Army before I would mention the bonus," Thomas said. "I don't want anyone making a commitment based on $20,000. That amount of money doesn't last a lifetime," unquote. But James Hosek, a defense manpower expert at the RAND Corporation, said that though the quick ship bonus is a very smart move by the Army, quote unquote, it could attract people who are less motivated to be in the service. "There's a risk of bringing in people with lesser attachment or commitment to the Army," Hosek said. "Adding money will, for some people, sweeten the deal enough to persuade them to enter," unquote. My take on this article from today's Washington Post on the front page: go back to my blog at Al Bawaba in Amman, Jordan. Take a look at the essay that I wrote on Marquis J. McCants of San Antonio, Texas, who died in this war this last May. I just recommend that to every young person who is listening to this and who is reading the Washington Post, page one this morning. What are your priorities? What should this country's priorities be in what it does for its young people? This raises many moral and ethical and political and cultural questions, and we need to look at what I said earlier this year in my essay on Marquis J. McCants. Memorial Day in San Antonio, the final resting place of Marquis J. McCants, and the death of the American Republic. The other advice and take that I have on today's story in the Washington Post is this. For better or worse, my father enlisted in the Army Air Corps on December the 8th, 1941. So did thousands upon thousands upon thousands of other young Americans. Now, of course, looking back on that war and all the things that we read about it today, it's very, very clear that there are many things that were behind that war historically that were not understood at the time. But the point is that in 1941, America was behind that war for better or for worse, but all kinds of people as a cross-section of this country's society at that point signed up. They joined and they did it voluntarily. They thought it was their obligation, and they thought they were defending their country. They thought that home and hearth were involved in the events that had transpired, and it didn't take a special enlistment bonus to get them to go to the recruiting station. Folks, what are we dealing with here today? What is behind this war? Is it the Israeli lobby? Is it Jewish neoconservatism? Is it central banking? Is it the petroleum conglomerates? Or is it all of them? There's a lot of debate as to the whole issue of who is most at fault for what has happened in this conflict in the Middle East. But suffice it to say that when we look at the national security of this country, the true national security of this country, I am hard-pressed to say that this war fits that definition, that this war is constitutional. It isn't. We did not have a formal congressional declaration of war before our involvement in this circumstance. And tomorrow, as I mentioned, tomorrow we are going to have on this show Ray McGovern of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. Ray McGovern was preparing national intelligence estimates for the President of the United States as a member of the Central Intelligence Agency. Ray McGovern was at the top, the apex, the zenith of the American national security and intelligence establishment. He is telling the rest of us, including me, that this war is a fraud. This war is a disaster. This war is a war that has been fought under false pretenses, and the people who crafted these false pretenses continue to control the executive branch of our government. They have a tremendous number of their supporters in the legislative branch of the government. And where was the news media when all this was going on? This is one of the things I want to ask Ray McGovern about tomorrow when he joins us from 7 to 9 Central on Mark Dankoff's America. Where was the news media? Where is the news media now? Why are they not talking about these things to the extent that they should be? It's very suggestive, isn't it? And what do we see? We see all kinds of American young people who are being grafted into this war as a janissary force for the New World Order. The New World Order. And when life's circumstances become difficult enough, $20,000, folks, is a lot of money when you don't have a job, when you've got a couple of small kids, when you've got a student loan that the feds have given you, an awful lot of money. And what are we asking these young people to do in exchange for the $20,000? Is it a calculated risk on the part of the young people who take the money that they will return alive? Will they be like Marquis J. McCants and not return alive? That is the gamble they're taking, and the gamble that our government is taking with their lives, all for $20,000 in cash. It's a very, very frightening situation, isn't it? And there are many of you out there who understand how compelling and how attractive this money can be. You're in the same economic circumstances that a lot of us have been fighting, and $20,000 is maybe what $200,000 would have been even 20 years ago. $20,000. Do you go to Iraq for that? Is that what it takes to get you to sign up? You know, when my father signed up for the Army Air Corps in World War II, you know what his starting pay was? $21 a month. $21 a month. Was he signing up for the money? Or was he signing up because, for better or for worse, he thought he was doing something to protect his country and to protect his family? I think most of us know the answer to that question. Most of us see what's going on with the United States Army now. And when you look at the whole post today that we have on page one of the Washington Post, it's absolutely sickening and absolutely frightening. And for those of you out there who have children and or grandchildren and or nieces or nephews or younger brothers and sisters who are in a category where they are going to be tempted by this offer, talk to them and talk to them today. This is a question of values. It's a question of ethics. It's a question of conscience. It's a question about what you believe is important when it comes to the hierarchy of priorities. Hopefully it's God number one, God, number one. Country and family, number two, and friends. Country and family and friends, number two. If those are the priorities, what are we to say about what the Washington Post tells us on page one today? Is the $20,000 worth it? And if this war is all that Mr. Bush cracks it up to be, does it take a special amount of money, a janissary cash, to get somebody to sign up at the recruiting station when the cause is right and everyone recognizes that the cause is right? I'd like to think it wouldn't. I'd like to think that we are today in a situation where if it was a cause that was right, that thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people would do the right thing. Those of you who travel in traffic, which I presume is most of you, if not all of you, if you're driving around in a major city, or for that matter, it could be on a highway out in the middle of nowhere, do you stop and help somebody who needs help only if there's money involved? If the situation's right, you're going to stop, aren't you? We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
We'll be right back.
back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. In just a few minutes, Greg Felton joins us from Canada. He is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. We've been talking this morning in the first hour of the show about a couple of news items. One is Paul Craig Roberts' op-ed piece this week on China. China holds all the financial cards, can wreck the U.S. economy at any time. If we go to war with Iran, will the Chinese simply tell us to buy back $900 billion in UST bonds and other dollar assets? Be interesting to watch that story, folks. How did we get into into that situation? The other thing we've looked at this morning from page one of the Washington Post is an article today on Army recruitment. Army recruitment, $20,000 can give a new recruit a pretty good bank account when he's starting out, he or she is starting out from scratch. Is it worth it in regard to going to the Middle East, going to Iraq? This is a most interesting and compelling story, isn't it, by Josh White on page one of today's Washington Post. If the cause is right, do you need to give somebody a special bonus to sign up? If the cause is right? Folks, I think you know the answer to that question. And more than 90%, according to the Washington Post, more than 90% of the Army's new recruits since late July have accepted this $20,000 quick ship bonus to leave for basic combat training by the end of September. That's going to put thousands of Americans into uniform almost immediately. Are we gambling with the lives of these young people? Are we bribing them? Are we getting them to put their lives in the line for cold cash when we know that the cause is wrong? And the cause is not constitutional, that the cause is a catastrophe, and that it's bad political, cultural, military, constitutional, and economic policy. That would seem to be the implication of today's story today in the Washington Post, page one by Josh White. Take a look at it. I'd like to ask you at this time to support the Republic Broadcasting Network. We need you, and we need you like never before. You can find us at www.republicbroadcasting.org. You can give us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Mr. Stattmiller needs you. The hosts need you. Our entire operation needs you, and we need you now. We need you on a regular basis, not simply with your financial gifts to the extent that that's possible, but also that you would continue to tell all of your contacts about this broadcast and about this network. Send out an email to all of your friends periodically in regard to RBN and in regard to some of the fine shows that you know are out there, either in the archives or when there are news releases about shows and guests coming up. I hope you will tell as many people as possible. That's the Republic Broadcasting Network, www.republicbroadcasting.org. You can call us at 1-800-724-2719. I'd like to ask you to support the American Free Press. Give those fine people a call at 1-888-699-NEWS. They need your support. They need new subscribers on an ongoing basis. They need their books, their very fine books in their book division, to sell on a regular basis to support their authors and to support AFP. You can read Michael Collins Piper and Mark Glenn and Mark Anderson and Willis.